could be. Who knows? There's something due any day. I will know right away, soon as it shows. It'd make 'em cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye, bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me.
Hi, my name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 28 years and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center. I'd like to welcome you all this week to my radio show, Attitude Adjustment, where I interview inspiring and motivational guests on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We stretch your limits as to what is possible. Each week we tackle an issue and share how to create a healthier lifestyle, live without pain, and embrace small nutritional and wellness changes that make a big difference. And this week, I'm very happy to have a friend of mine, Dr. Karen Wolf. Karen, are you there?
I sure am. Good to be on with you.
I am so happy to have you on here today, and I'd love for my guests to learn a little bit about you. So, Dr. Karen Wolf is from Australia. She is an Australian physician. Karen is a health coach, an author, and international speaker. She was born in Sydney, Australia. Karen graduated from Sydney University with a medical degree and completed a master's in psychology from National University and holistic health coach with the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. She has worked initially in Australia as a family physician and has worked in the wellness industry for more than 20 years in the U.S. She is the founder of WellPro International, a wellness company that attracts entrepreneurial and holistic-minded people from all walks of life who want to dramatically improve their health, their lifestyles, their incomes, as well as inspire others to do the same. Karen lives in Mission Viejo, California, Southern California, with her husband and two dogs, and they have three children. So, Karen, what kind of dogs do you have?
Dogs. Well, they're sitting with me right now here in my home office. I have one Wheaton Terrier who is just a little Spitfire, and then I have this little Shih Tzu who is little but doesn't realize he's little, so he goes after big dogs, and he's 12 now, so I have
wow.
two.
Wow, that sounds like me. I have a big dog and a little dog, and little dog personality, and is also almost 12, so. Okay, so Karen, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is your topic is called Taking the Risk to Follow Your Dream. What was your dream you took a risk for?
Well, my dream was to make health as big a conversation as disease, because I came from that medical model, having gone to medical school and being a GP in Australia. And then when I fell in love, that was one risk I took. I fell in love and moved everything from Australia to the U.S. And I really, the big risk I took was to change everything. I changed my, well, it was pretty traumatic because I changed my country as well. So I moved countries and I left my clinical medical career to pursue something I really didn't know much about, which was wellness. And I really wanted to teach people how to be well. So that was the dream I had. And of course, that was 23 years ago. And I didn't really know how to do it. So I found mentors along the way that kept showing me the way and showing me the way until now, of course, I am truly living my dream. And that's why I picked this particular topic, because I think a lot of people are dissatisfied with what they're doing, but they feel like they have to do it because they've always done it. And clearly I could have gone back into traditional medicine, if that was my passion, and it is for so many people, and that's wonderful, but for me, I didn't want to work on the disease end of medicine. I wanted to help people be well, teach people the principles of how to be well. And so the big dream I had was to make creating health a big conversation. And it's a path that I will continue. It's something that I will always, always do because I love that conversation.
So when you think about what you've done, you came, halfway around the world. You found your love of your life. You've both emotionally, physically, and professionally. What did you specifically have to give up to follow your dream?
I had to give up needing to know how. I mean, if I was to put it in a real little nutshell, I remember in the medical mindset that I used to be in, I had answers to everything. I was taught to know the answers to everything. And working in this new field of entrepreneurship and wellness, it's constantly changing. So being able to continually be teachable versus needing to know. I had to let go of that ego part of myself. I know we all have. The ego plays a really important part in keeping us safe. But it can also get in the way of us growing and expanding and learning and just being in that space of every day I wake up and think, well, what am I going to learn today? Who am I going to help today? What is going to show itself today? And so really letting go of that constant need to always be right and to always have to know and to be on a constant journey of discovery.
I love that because I think from speaking to people in our community, people are afraid to take the risk because they don't get the how of what you just said. They think that they have to know it all before they actually take that plunge.
Oh, yes. And, of course, that freezes you into inaction because, one, we're never going to know it all. never. And the passion is what really, I feel, is the driver. So the dream has passion. And if you don't have passion for your dream, then it's clearly not the right dream. I think the dream that we put on this planet to fulfill has to be bigger than ourselves, bigger than us knowing how. Mary Manon Morrissey wrote a great book on building your field of dreams. I love that book because it speaks to this idea of how to qualify your dream to see if it really is the right one. And there are a few elements that she talks about, which is if you can't do this dream on your own, then it's not big enough. You need help to fulfill your dream. And so if anybody's in that place of wondering, well, I just wonder what my dream actually is, I'd recommend Mary's work on building your field of dreams.
So the name of the book is called Building Your Field of Dreams.
Building Your Field of Dreams, yeah, Mary Manon Morrissey.
Building Your Field of Dreams. I have not heard that book, and that sounds wonderful. Thank
yeah,
you for
it really
that.
Is good. Mm.
So you also
there are like
mentioned
five elements, and I would say another element that's really significant for me when I read that was that your dream will help other people. And that's that ego thing too, that we are here to express our gifts and talents, but we're also here to serve. So our gifts and talents are here to be able to serve the world and serve other people. So she has these really cool little five-scale check-off points to see if your dream really meets that, if it's big enough for you.
Mm. So whatever our dream is, it sounds like through looking at this book, we need to dream even bigger. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So you mentioned earlier a little bit about mentors. Who have been your mentors on your entrepreneurial journey?
Well, I would say when I first came to the U.S. and I felt a bit like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. I was just in this completely new place like she was. Like, whoa, what do I do now? And there was one significant person, her name is Fern, and she was already a entrepreneur in the wellness field, and she scooped me up and said, and helped me understand what entrepreneurship was, helped booked me as a speaker a few times, and that's how I found I'd love to speak, and really showed me the business side of wellness, which, of course, you never learn in school. So hopefully they do now, because, in fact, I have an intern now in the summer, which I'm excited for, and she asked me what I feel her minor should be, and I said, well, what are your choices? And the first one was business. I said, yes, that's it. You do a health-related major and a business minor. You need business skills in this world of ours, and that's what that mentor did. And then Dr. Christiane Northrup, who I read her books when I was in medical school, and I consider her first book, Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, a Bible of Women's Health. It's called Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, and it's really thick, and you can go to any section, don't have to read it from front to back. You can look at the section on PMS if that's what you're really wanting to understand, and it's a mind-body-spirit approach to health. And I knew that's where my heart was, but I never knew there was how to do it. And so I followed her work, and then, of course, I met her when I was speaking about 10 years ago. We had a conversation, and then she inspired me to go the next step in my dream, which is to really create a community of like-minded people to share this work with. So she's been a major, major mentor. And so I have really personal mentors, and then I have mentors that I call through the amazing work that they do. So Kathleen Demaison, who is, to me, a specialist in sugar addiction, and all her amazing work that I utilize every day, and Joan Borisenko, oh my gosh, Mending the Mind, oh my gosh, love, love, love her work. So these people that inspire that fire in me, and I'm a big believer in mentors. I just think that it's so important to be lifted in our dream by people that are kind of a little bit ahead of where you want to be, and you can watch what they do and how they do it, and fashion that to your own style.
I love that, because I notice even myself, I always look for people that are doing something that maybe I'm not doing that I would love to be doing in my future. So I love that, because I think a mentor is always somebody that will drive you and motivate you to live more towards your dream. So that's wonderful. So
yes.
Karen, I know that you've written a book, and the name of the book is called Is Your Lifestyle Killing You? How did you come across that title?
With a lot of contemplation, because I'm a big believer in the law of attraction. So every word we use, every emotion we have is attracting something to us. Whether we know it or not, we're attracting all the time. So a title like this, which has the word killing in it, was a really tough one for me to stick with. And I thought, am I going to have a book that has the word killing in it? But I kept coming back to it. There were many iterations, but what I really want is people to wake up. And sometimes you have to really shock people with the title for them to open the book and explore it. So the truth is, in my experience in the wellness industry in the last 22 years, and then before that as a GP, it is our lifestyle that we have most control of, that we can really be empowered to shift just little steps at a time, not big ones where we self-sabotage and we don't succeed. But I really believe that lifestyle medicine is the way we're going to turn around this crazy healthcare crisis and obesity epidemic. So I made a little wheel. I thought, what are the 8 areas that I think are most significant in our lifestyle that we can have the biggest impact on? So I made that little wheel, and then I just wrote a book that is geared at helping people take action. I'm a very action-driven person, so I talk about the food plan, and I talk about sleep, and deprivation. I talk about stress and digestive health, and I give people action steps. In fact, I run a whole group based on that book so people can use it as a workbook to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and this is my first step. Because I think people need action steps to follow. Mm-hmm. And not prescriptive, so that you have to do this, this, and this. But to get a range of choices, like in, say, digestive health, a range of choices of things they could do, and then pick one to work on. And then have an accountability buddy to help with the process of that change. So the reason I wrote the book was really to wake people up and to make help people make the changes that are so vital to turning around this chronic disease epidemic.
I love that. And we are going to be discussing more of your book in just a moment. We're going to be taking a very short break, and we will be back with Dr. Karen Wolf.
Glad you are able to be with us today. We are taking a short break. If you would like to ask our guests a question during the next segment of our show, please contact innerlightradio@yahoo.com or call 310-928-7733. As a doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 27 years and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center, my staff and I are compassionate health experts. Through our integrative approach, we create miraculous breakthroughs in your physical and emotional health using cutting-edge technologies. Along with our inspirational and healing touch, we customize wellness packages to optimize your quality of life so that you can live your best life without pain. You are welcome to contact Dr. Iris by going to her website, www.driris.com. Looking forward to sharing this powerful second part of our show today.
I'd like to welcome everybody back to the second part of our radio show today, Attitude Adjustment. My name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, and I'm here today with Dr. Karen Wolf. And we were just talking about her book, Is Your Lifestyle Killing You?, how she picked the title, and the 8 action steps that Karen recommends. Now, Karen, if somebody wanted to find out how to get your book, how would they get that?
Oh, well, the best way is to just go straight on my website, Dr. Karen Wolf with an E, WOLFE.org, and you can just get it straight from there. And I also have a button on my site. If there are coaches out there that want to use the wheel I spoke about, I have coaching resources there for free for people to really implement these ideas, because I don't want to keep it a secret. I want people to spread the word and really start having these conversations about what truly, truly creates health. In fact, Iris, I saw that movie a couple weekends ago, Fed Up.
Yes.
And it's playing locally here, and I know it's playing across the country. And when I saw that movie, I thought, wow. I mean, when you suddenly see on the screen back at you what I've been speaking about for so long, it felt so supportive that we are truly in a deep conversation about food politics and food marketing and the true cause of the obesity epidemic. And I just love it when suddenly the mass media is picking up these ideas, which really we are undergoing a lot of change and a lot of awareness in the lay media now, which I'm really excited about.
And I agree. And now, Karen, I know you also do boot camps and other type of coaching sessions. So can you please share that? Because there might be some listeners who are interested.
Yes, I know I call it boot camp, and as soon as people hear that, they think it's exercise, but I do a physical boot camp for my, which I just love myself, but I do a Sugar Buster boot camp, and I do one every single month on the phone so that I can cover the world. So I have people from all over the world that join these phone calls that I do to support people to get off the sugar roller coaster. And I've just started doing them locally right here in my backyard in Mission Viejo. So I'm very excited that I've started to mentor a few coaches right here in my own backyard. And I am starting, actually tomorrow evening is the start of my next one. And we're going to do a four-week in-person Sugar Buster Boot Camp where we're really going to understand what is sugar and what are the hidden foods that it's in and how can we set meal plans and shopping lists and really help lead as clean a life as possible. And a lot of it is awareness, is conversation, and is support, because we happen to be lucky right here to have many, many choices of healthy places to purchase our produce, and we together, when we get together as a group, we're going to be able to set action plans and be able to really talk about, well, what is a healthy snack and what are you having for dinner tonight and what is the recipe, and really help people implement their lifestyle. And on week three, I'm actually going to have some of my coaches that are working with me that do energy work come and talk about Reiki energy healing and tapping, which is becoming more and more popular as a shifting energy in the body. So it's kind of fun to be able to do it locally in my own backyard.
That's wonderful.
And you can just email me if people have questions. That's probably the best way. Just go on my website and contact me, or just go to email at, and then my website, drkarenwolf.org.
So, Karen, I know that it's a big problem because so many people share this with me as far as they might do okay when they're consciously thinking about what you just said, but then they go off track, like they go on vacation, or they might go to a party, and then they say to me, but I blow it. I eat too much junk, and then I have a hard time getting back on track. Can you address that issue?
Yeah, I actually believe that sugar is a drug. So we have this epidemic of sugar addiction at many levels. Some of the level of addiction can be truly like the addictions we know of, the drug addiction, alcohol addiction, where it's biochemically our brains are wired differently. And so a little bit can send us off this spiral of uncontrolled eating. So that's what I like to assess, is where someone is on that spectrum. So the other end might be, well, yeah, I just have a cookie now and then, but it doesn't get the best of me, but I kind of have a craving, but it's not too bad. So it's important that we're aware of where we fall on that spectrum. And that's why I use Kathleen Demaison's work and her book, Potatoes Not Prozac, which I absolutely love, that talks about sugar addiction being an issue of biochemistry, not just willpower. And there's this acceptance that we will relapse. Like any kind of addiction, it's normal to fall off the wagon every now and then. But the difference is, when you're using my program, you have a way to get back on. Mm-hmm. And not to beat yourself up and say, oh, I've blown it, I may as well just forget all about it. But to say, okay, I know how to get back on track and balance my blood sugar, and I can do that. Mm-hmm. So to be empowered to have that relapse plan, and it's truly an addiction. Now, some people don't have it, like about 20% of the population, really, it's not an issue. But if you look at Kathleen's work and her study on sugar addiction, it's very closely aligned with alcoholism, because the same brain pathways for alcoholism are similar to sugar addiction. So if you had alcoholics in your family and maybe you don't have that issue, you might have sugar addiction. And when people realize that, it's like, whoa, you know how rampant alcohol addiction is, then sugar addiction, although it's hidden because people don't talk about it, it is equally as pervasive.
Absolutely. Now, Karen, you know that my show, the title of my show is called Attitude Adjustments. And you have certainly been changing our attitude listening to you. However, I would love for you to pick two ways, in your professional opinion, that could change our listeners' attitude.
Okay, two ways it can change your attitude. Well, I have to go straight away to something that I guess so many people say, and our attitude is a choice. So I choose to live in gratitude, even when all this stuff is happening in the world, and there's no denying that stuff is happening in the world. And despite what's happening on the outside, I choose to be grateful for the gift of life and the fact that my heart is beating and the fact that I have freedom in my life that is beyond anything I ever imagined. And that attitude of gratitude, I believe, makes more difference than any other one thing. That's something we can do from the inside out. And the second one I would say is to have mentors in your life. Have people that live the way you would like to live. Maybe they're just a little more advanced in whatever that area is that you want to improve in your life. If it's spiritual, find someone that is truly living a spiritual path every day and connect with them and ask them, meet with them and ask them, tell me what it is you do and what practices you have and learn from those people and take on some action steps for yourself based on your experience with those people, because I believe I would probably have stayed in my cocoon of clinical medicine because I didn't know any different until I looked out and saw these amazing other people doing this work in the world that I dreamed of but had no idea how. And then I studied them and met with them, or sometimes couldn't meet with them, and just read their wonderful work. And it helped me grow bigger than I knew how to myself. I think that's a key piece.
That's wonderful. Now, Karen, I know that some of our listeners are listening to you and they're saying, okay, I got that. However, they may have gotten to a certain point in their career, in their life, and they are coming across like a stumbling block, or they feel that in some area they haven't succeeded or they failed. From your opinion, can you share where you were or how your areas of that maybe weren't as successful as you'd like them to be, how you grew and how you use that for your next step in your success?
Yes. So there's so many times in my life that I could say, boy, that sure didn't work. I mean, because hindsight is a wonderful thing. And when I was in the middle of it, it felt awful. But what I know, what I really believe, is that there is no such thing as failure. I like that concept of failing up, which means that every so-called failure, if we want to label that, every experience that is not aligned with my authentic self and experience is something for me to learn from. So, in fact, I did a lot of things that you could say failed, but what they allowed me to see was clearly what was not right for me. So it helped me get clearer about what was right for me. And that's a process. I don't know how at 20, you know, when our kids are 20 and they're meant to decide what they want to do for the rest of their lives, I don't know how you do that, because I had to do a whole bunch of stuff that I so-called failed at before I figured out what my true gifts and talents were and decided to live by that. Mm-hmm. But it was an experience. I had to experience it and go through that yuckiness and the grief and the sorrow and the oh my gosh, poor me, to be able to snap out of it and say, okay, I'm not going back there again. That clearly doesn't work for me.
Sure. So basically, again, it's like a choice and keep moving forward.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to follow your gut to know when it's not working.
Sure. We are about to end our show, and I would love for you to leave with one more inspirational anything that you think that you would like to share with our guests before we close.
Well, I'm a big believer in following your dream. I think we are all here for a very specific purpose, this short amount of time we're here on this planet, and many people never figure out what that is. So I guess another book that I would recommend, since my time is very short and I use when I'm helping people discover their dream, is called The Big Leap. The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. And the big leap is the leap we take when we move out of our small thinking, what we call upper limits of our own thinking, and we leap into our zone of genius when we're really operating from our true authentic gifts and talents. It's a really good workbook, very easy read, but a way to really explore how we can attitude adjust and get into this bigger idea of what our dream is and operate from there.
I love that. So Karen has left us with numerous books. I just look so forward to getting my hands on them. It's been such a treat to have you on our show today. You can reach Dr. Karen Wolf by going to her website, www.drkarenwolf.org. Please join us on the 2nd and 4th Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you will continue to gain insights and inspiration from each of my guests. You are guaranteed to leave with two ways you can adjust your attitude. We look forward to our next show on Tuesday, June 24th, with Althea Ledford, a media personality, author, business lifestyle, and technology expert. For further information, contact me, Dr. Iris Rosenfeld. My email is driris@driris.com and my website, www.driris.com. And I am leaving you all with an inspirational quote from Tom Krause. If you only do what you know you can do, you never do very much. Have a healthful day, everybody. A miracle do, gonna come true, coming to me. Could it be? Yes, it could. Something's coming, something good. If I can wait, something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great.